people in the back, please. Please sit down. Aren't these wonderful readings? Really wonderful. Yeah, they are, aren't they? Pentecost is right up there with Easter and even Christmas as a celebration of the amazing and astounding coming of God to heal God's world. At Christmas, we remember the Christ child born in poverty. At Easter, we celebrate the new life which has come into the world. We celebrate that the new life which has come into the world is not subject to death. And now, here at Pentecost, we celebrate the fullness of God with God's people. And you know, today I was reminded this is the first time we're going to be celebrating the Eucharist in the building since March of last year. Wonderful feeling of fullness. And it's great to have everybody at home with us as well. It's wonderful that we can have this sharing of folks here and folks at home. Now, the Greek text from that reading we heard from Acts at the beginning, it has a play on the words full and or fill and fullness. It says the day of Pentecost was fulfilled. The house was filled with a sound like a violent wind, and they were all filled with a spirit of holiness. It's such a contrast, isn't it, with the beginning of Ezekiel's vision, where the valley is full of empty, dry bones. So what is filling you this morning? Are you filled with the spirit of holiness that's like the breath of God? Or are you more like a valley filled with a collection of very dry bones? I imagine that most of us are a mixture of both. When I think about myself, I notice that I'm excited to be here and speaking with you this morning. I am excited that things are moving toward us being able to gather again in a larger group, perhaps even being able to sing quietly. But there's a lot of dry bones rattling away in my inner valley. And maybe that is the way it is most of the time. There are parts of ourselves which are lively, and parts that need inspiration. But perhaps most especially now, we are many of us tired and a bit discouraged. Change has been happening in our midst as a community, but we haven't been able to assimilate it or talk about it much either. Several people have died in the last year. Others have moved away, either physically or emotionally. If you saw the email I sent out yesterday, you will know that John will be stepping down as our music director and organist. And that will be in a few weeks, and we hope that he'll stay part of the congregation. But these are sad and challenging times. Even as the hope of the yellow zone comes, and even possibly beyond that, the ending of most restrictions. But I imagine the disciples felt something similar. They had been through the roller coaster ride of the triumphal ride into Jerusalem, followed by a week of gathering threat, and then Jesus' arrest, trial, and unbelievable crucifixion. And just when the shock was wearing off and they were plunged into grief, the word of his resurrection and all those amazing and unexpected encounters with the risen Christ. Only to have him leave again, ascending into the higher realms. And now they're gathered together in Jerusalem. I expect they were sad and discouraged. How were they to go on? Who were they without Jesus? Now, from the gospel reading, we know that Jesus had promised them an advocate and the spirit of truth to guide them into all truth. But it probably didn't mean much at the time. It probably didn't really make much sense to them. But we, as his later disciples, we too have these same promises. We have the promise of being filled with God's new life, and we have the promise of the Spirit of God to witness to God's love and to lead us into the new. And we have something the early disciples didn't. We have the record and the promise of that day of Pentecost, when the wind of the Spirit swept through the room and they were filled with the spirit of holiness. Their emptiness was turned into fullness. They were literally inspired and began speaking as God gave them language. And the people around them were astounded as they heard God being praised in their own languages. Just as Ezekiel must have been astounded when he prophesied to the bones, "Thus says the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live." He must have been astounded when he prophesied to the bones, and astonishingly, the breath came into them and they lived. This is both our prayer and our inheritance, people of God. We pray that the Spirit of God will breathe life into the bones which feel old and dry. And we know that we serve a God who is like a roaring wind and a God who answers prayer. So do we dare? Do we dare pray for the wind of God to blow through this church? Do we dare pray to be filled? Do we dare pray that new flesh will grow on the bones, that the valley of death will become a valley of flowing water and blowing wind? Do we dare see visions and dream dreams? I hope so. I hope that we will pray for God to move among us in great power. St. Benedict's has always been a church that is willing to experiment, willing to try new things, willing to fail and to learn from its mistakes. I hope that like the early disciples, we will gather, but gather with expectancy that God is moving among us, that God is bringing new life, that God is filling us with God's grace and power. But wait, are we attached to the dry bones? Have we gotten used to sitting among them? Have we actually begun to find them rather beautiful? There is something special about fossils. People pay good money to go to the Dinosaur National Monument in Utah and look at those bones of those long ago creatures, dead and encased in clay. But people of God, we are not called to be fossils. We are called to let go of the past and let go of the desire for solid ground under our feet and to allow ourselves to be taken up like paragliders, taken up by the wind of the Spirit and blown wherever God wants us to be blown. We are called to open the windows of our hearts and minds and invite God in. Invite in the astounding God who can do more through us and in us than we can ever imagine. This day of Pentecost, let us ask the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us into new hope, new life, new possibilities. But notice, in the gospel reading, Jesus says, "When the advocate comes, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify. We also are to testify." The reign of God is not a passive ride. It's not God taking over while we get to watch. The reign of God requires our active participation. We also are to act. So let us ask the Spirit of God to fill our hearts and our minds, our gatherings and our faith community. And then let us look with expectancy for how God is calling us to testify to the new life and the amazing love which God shares with us and through us to the whole of creation. And let us take action as we hear the Spirit of holiness prompting us to move.